Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Welcome, New Life family and friends. This is Chris Williams in for Steve today, and I have with me Dr. Jill Hubbard.
Hello, Chris.
How's it going?
It's going well, Chris.
Good. You look at me with suspicion. As
yes.
If, all right.
We'll see.
All right. We'll see where this goes. And Dr. Jackie Mac Harris.
Hey, Chris.
Hey. Same thing. All right. Okay. Let's jump in.
Good.
I've been working with these two concepts, because I see them active in addiction and recovery. And Here's the two concepts. Intensity versus serenity. And so much of my life is driven by intensity. And I also see that so much of addiction and addictive processes are driven by intensity.
Yeah.
It's interesting that the recovery process is moving us towards serenity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's talk about this. How do we utilize intensity in our life? Because I utilize it to get stuff done.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure.
As a professional, incredibly gifted procrastinator,
mm-hmm.
My line is nothing would get done unless it was without the last minute.
Right.
Right.
Yes. Right. And some people's brains actually are more wired that way,
mm-hmm.
to need the deadline, to need the sense of urgency to kick into gear.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's definitely me. I actually had a teacher in 11th grade give me back my homework that I turned in like 2 weeks early, because that's just something I never do. And he's like, this is a C.
Oh, he's like,
take it back and turn it in on the due date. I turned it on due date. He was like, yeah, this is more like it.
You
are better under pressure.
Yeah.
And now I've never forgot that.
And we started this because you guys told me something that was very strange and foreign to me.
Yes.
And that is, for the first time, I think, ever, not that we've all hosted the same time, but I spent some time with you guys, and I'm like, you're always later than me showing up. And this time
I was so generous.
Yes.
I'm usually the one that's earlier. But you were saying showing up early, it creates anxiety.
Getting in the parking lot 25 minutes early this morning, I was like, when I get here at 9:59 and have to run in, that feels appropriate. It's just the craziest thing.
That's so weird.
No, it is the weirdest thing. It's really uncomfortable to show up early. It's like, what do I do with myself now? Because I'm used to just having to like jump in and go.
That to me is anxious. Like, that to me is anxiety.
Yeah.
Like, showing up early,
normal.
I get to chill, I get to relax, I get to, you know.
That makes sense, right? And sounds good.
I think what you were saying about the intensity, right?
Yes.
So we're driven by that intensity.
Uh-huh.
And so by the time you get to the thing you're about to do, you are ready to do it. You walk in, you jump in, you are guns
are
blazing, you're on fire, you're ready to go, you're on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you get there early, there's this pause, and okay, there's a cool down. There's not the same intensity. I don't really come into work with serenity.
Up, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right,
build up right. On the road as we're getting here.
Yeah.
Well,
But
to that point, I know for me, when I run off of intensity for too long, it has consequences.
Oh, absolutely. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so part of our practices, part of our health, our spiritual, mental, emotional, relational health, is learning to slow. And it's hard, and it's difficult, and we have to sit with ourselves.
And learning to do things differently. We both know we should be on time.
Yes.
So that's how we arrived here. So we're working towards changing old behaviors, and sometimes it doesn't feel good.
You're right.
And you have to sit in the discomfort.
Have to sit in the discomfort.
In order to make the change.
Absolutely.
So let us help you sit in the discomfort. Let us help you find a little bit more serenity in this intense life. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. We want to talk with you. We want to help you out today. Join the fun here in studio.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live, and shout out to the guys out there. If you are really struggling with sexual integrity issues, your sexual behavior or obsessions are just getting you in trouble and getting out of control, and most importantly, breaking the value you have with yourself and God, EMB starts this Friday. Every Man's Battle is in Indianapolis. It's this Friday. Don't delay. Sign up. And I know you'll hear these pleas a lot, but what we've witnessed in Every Man's Battle and in this weekend is a huge doorway into a new way of living. I know it's scary. I know it can be intimidating. But as we said, when we lean into the discomfort in a positive way, through a positive experience, we discover something on the other side. And I know that discovering integrity and new life on the other side is what Every Man's Battle is all about. So sign up for that today. And with that, we're going to go right to the phones. We're going to go to Mark in Inglewood, California, listening on KKLA. Mark, are you there, man?
Yes, I am. Hi, Chris. How are you?
Good. Talk to me. What you got going on?
Well, I have a question. I was wondering if I could just set it up a little bit, or if you want me to ask the question right away, I can do that.
Well, yeah, ask the question, and then give us a little bit of the background.
Okay. Well, I'd like to know, I was married for 5 months. I knew the lady for 10 years, her and her family. And, we had a great marriage. And then all of a sudden I came home from work one day and everything was gone. And so my question to you is it was like she was trying to beat the pain, or like fighting against a ghost or something.
Yeah.
Like the hurt people kind of person.
Yes.
So my question is, what is in a person's head when they have a husband or wife that loves and adores them, and then all of a sudden they bail? So, her whole family. Yeah.
Her whole family
absolutely adored me.
Uh-huh.
And they're still shocked. I mean, her kids are all in their 20s. And,
wow.
You know, so, yeah, they I still have a relationship with one of them. Thank God for that.
Yeah.
But we never fought or anything. I mean, I had a great time with her.
Let me jump in on this, and then I'll turn it over to the experts with me here today. But, Mark, I have the opportunity to work with quite a few leaders and pastors and unfortunately, a lot of times it's after their quote-unquote moral failing, even though I hate that term. And here's what I say, is that I really, really, really wish and hope and dream of the day in which in our development that we have a high value for facing our darkness and a process to lead us into it. Mm-hmm. Because our darkness is undefeated. The most powerless thing that we are against in this world is the sin within us. And so when that, and you said it well, it's like, I think you said outrunning her pain, but her pain caught up to her. And I think that that's really, really insightful. And so I just want to say one thing about that, is that because that darkness is undefeated, other people's goodness is not going to overcome that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Jackie, what do you think?
I'm sitting with what you just said. Other people's goodness will mm-hmm. not overcome that darkness. And so your question, what is that in a person that would prevent them from being able to receive the love of a husband or a wife who just adores them is the darkness. The darkness doesn't want to be beat out. It doesn't want to be pushed back. And, you know, as we were talking about being used to our own habits, even when they're not great, it's hard to put on something new, even when you've chosen it. Even when you've chosen the new behavior, the new way of living, being in this new relationship was probably contrary to everything she was used to. And that can be really hard. And so you run from that when you don't understand it. Mm-hmm. And there would be nothing another person could do to fix what's going on inside.
Yeah.
All you can do is kind of be there and be present for someone, which is a wonderful thing. But that pain that's deep inside, that darkness inside, we've got to face that and wrestle with that in our own ways. And mm-hmm. this leaving could be a part of that for her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, my first thought was not being able to accept the good, mm-hmm. right? So exactly what you guys are thinking, hitting up against something good that intellectually she wants, mm-hmm. right? But it's very different. Most of us are used to the longing for what we want. Yeah. But once you actually get mm-hmm. it, then it's terrifying.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it's interesting, though, Mark, you knew her 10 years. This woman was quite a good actress, mm-hmm. right? She had she had to have had a double life. And so you saw it through her being, I think we got a sense that she was a little bit wild. And so you maybe saw the tip of the iceberg, but the depth of what she was hiding, probably she's not exposed to anyone, because that's the only way you can do that big of a split, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Is that she has told no one.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that her, that it was like, now I just want you to know that I love and adore the person. I don't hold grudges. Mm-hmm. My parents were happily married for 75 years, and her parents were happily married for 65.
Wow.
So,
and we can hold truth, and we can hold something negative that might be true as well as something good that might be true. So mm-hmm. your sharing doesn't sound like you're letting that go.
It was like being with a narcissist or a sociopath. Mm. And I didn't know that. You know, like I said, we dated off and on for 10 years. You know, she would kind of, it would be a couple of months and then she'd disappear. Mm. And so I had, don't get me wrong, I had a great time with her. She was beautiful. We had a lot of fun together, but then she would just cut it, you know? And I didn't know that her situation was so severe. And, you know, her daughter came to me.
Oh, so, hey, so Mark, let me jump in. Mark, let me jump in. Let me jump in here.
Sure.
Okay, so I'm take a deep breath, man. Here we go. I didn't realize your condition was so severe.
I knew you were going to say that.
Right? Right? Because
I'm glad you're laughing, Mark.
Right, because...
Well, I've been trying to get counseling with Jill, and I work for NASA. I have a really busy job. I want to get to...
That's
see her.
Right, we have correspondence.
Yeah. So, here's where we'll lead you in the direction, is that there's a couple things here. One, there's something in you that doesn't feel worthy to be committed to, worthy to be trustworthy, you know, worthy to be trusting. And so the other aspect of that is a block in intimacy. Is that intimacy is really about getting to know the insides of another person and being known in my insides by another person. Mm-hmm. You know, we use the kind of silly, not acronym, but sort of play on words. Intimacy is into me you see.
Right. And if every time you start to get a little more intimate emotionally, she leaves.
Yeah.
Right. So I hear you over and over, Mark, saying we had so much fun together. So that was.
I really enjoyed her.
Yes. Yeah. That was great. But then she would leave. She couldn't let you into that next layer.
Yeah. She did that. She's done that to everybody. Yes. 14 years. Her husband is deceased. He picked drugs and alcohol over her and the kids. So I didn't know if maybe she was just punishing every guy she met or, you know, like I said, you know, trying to beat the pain.
Was there,
so
Mark, was...
I'm a thinker, so I kind of like to have answers. I'm not holding a grudge. I've been divorced for a couple years.
Well Mark, you know, Mark, because when you said first, you know, what was she thinking? And I'm like, this is not an issue of the mind. This is definitely an issue of the heart. And that's where I think, and because we can't do anything about her and her choices. But today we can say, okay, what was going on inside of my heart that I stayed with this person, put up with this as long as I did? And what does my heart need?
That's true.
And right. To marry her. So I am curious, was there a hope that the marriage would be something that she wouldn't run from? Because it seems like...
Well, there was a change in her behavior. And it was very noticeable by me and other people. So I figured, hey, you know, she's 52 years old. And I figured, you know, hey, she's finally, you know, growing up and finally, you know, and she wants to settle down now. Because I knew her M.O. pretty much.
Okay.
But, you know, like I said, I didn't think it was that severe. But,
So, yes.
So I pray for her every day. I feel bad for her. What a trap to be in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
And I feel bad for you about the trap because you want someone to love and to love you, but have chosen this person that has this split that can't fully commit to you, can't fully be there with you. And so sounds like it could be helpful for you to focus on, like, what's going on there? Why would I choose this over and over and over and over
and
over?
And why was I not more curious?
Yeah.
Why was I not more curious about digging into this with her prior to marriage?
That part's not as much fun.
No, it's not.
It was like being with a skipping record, you know, like being on Groundhog Day. She does the same. I can tell you her moves now, you know.
So you kind of got used to that rhythm, too. You got used to that rhythm, and so that started to work for you.
You could call me a codependent, I guess.
Okay, so...
Well, and there's that holding out that hope that maybe it'll change in marriage, or it's better to be with her in this way than not at all.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So in that, Mark, that identifying that, is codependency is the fancy way of saying it, is giving away our agency. But that means this, is that I don't feel my feelings, I feel your feelings. I don't think my thoughts, I think your thoughts. I don't adopt my own state of being, I adopt your state of being. And so what happens is we try to fix other people, but what we're doing is we're trying to actually fix ourselves through other people.
Yeah.
And so and we end up dancing to a skipping record and wondering why we're tripping over our feet. And then now the work is, let's figure out what's going on inside of me that gets into these relationships, that gets into these patterns that are not, that don't work for me, that aren't healthy.
Right. Because even now in talking to us, you have a lot of love and care for her and understanding for her. But what about for you?
Yeah, you've been abandoned. You've been betrayed. You've been, like, there's a lot here. Yeah.
And like I said, we can hold two things at once. We can hold that you love her and that you're a forgiving person and that you don't hold grudges. We can hold that. But at the same time, the reality is this is bad. Like, you got married and your partner bailed on you.
And
you
didn't even tell you.
And didn't
tell
you. You just disappeared.
Yeah.
You get to have feelings about that.
Yeah. Well, Mark, here's what we're going to do. We're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. And I would encourage you, it's not coming up for a little bit here, but we're in the planning stages of the next Emotional Freedom Workshop. And that workshop really, really helps you
really
dig into our heart and our heart issues and what affects them and what keeps us stuck, what keeps us listening to broken records. So, Mark, thank you so much for calling
in
today.
Yes, and Mark, reach out again.
Yes, you heard that. Reach out to Jillian, okay?
You guys are great. Thanks a lot. No, you really opened up a lot of doors for me to think about stuff about myself. So, good. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. You get to focus on you. Put your mask on first.
Absolutely. We love you. We want you to love you.
Yes.
And be able to receive that love from around you as well. So give us a call today, 1-800-229-3000. We're going to be in studio for a couple hours here. So we would love to talk to you. If you need resources, whether that be a book or whether it be a therapist or in to get into this work we're talking about, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or go online, www.newlife.com. And again, come hang out with us, 1-800-229-3000. We'll be right back.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Oh, welcome back to New Life Live. Again, Chris Williams, doctors Jackie Mac Harris and Jill Hubbard. And we also have in studio one of my favorite people, Larry Sonnenberg. Larry, what do you have
Thank
for us
you.
Today?
Hey, well, you mentioned it early in the program. Every Man's Battle starts this Friday in Indianapolis. And I don't know why there are workshops from time to time where people don't seem as interested as they are other times. And this is one of those times where it's like pulling teeth to get guys to come, and it shouldn't be. And I think that's a stronghold of Satan more than anything myself. But
Larry, let me jump in with
something. There's a lot of last-minute sign-ups, though.
But listen, the struggle is not abnormal. I was just on a phone call with a fellow in recovery, and we were just talking about how we have gotten phone calls or reports from so many guys that had acted out or broken sobriety, and that we're really kind of on a good path. But, you know, it's not abnormal to struggle.
Yeah. No, you're right. It isn't. But we want to help those guys that are. And so I like to encourage by reading a testimony. So this is a testimony, let's see, from Troy. Every Man's Battle has been an eye-opening experience. The main sessions were very informative, but I felt the most important part for me was group. Hearing the stories of men that I can relate to opened my eyes to the fact that I'm not alone, and I don't have to do this on my own. We came in as individuals and left as brothers, building healthy relationships with each other that I thought could never be built. Our group facilitator was so full of wisdom, but very humble, grounded and open himself. The lasting relationships that were built are strong, and I can't wait to see what God has in store for all of us.
I love it.
That's just full of all kinds of things. You know, the group sessions, the main sessions, the humility, waiting to see what God has in store for us. That's hope. Yeah, I love, we have to be hope givers. Mm-hmm. And so, guys, sign up. Ladies, if your husband needs it.
Well, and just a reminder that this workshop is, it's about sexual integrity, but it's broader than that.
Oh, my goodness.
And I know so many men that weren't expecting to deal with their father wounds.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely. That's
and
right.
As well as their intimacy deficits.
Amen. Yes.
Right? So if you're a man, you can't really relate, or you have a hard time, or you have no best friends. Right? This is a workshop where you'll learn about sexual integrity, but you'll learn about so much more.
Well, and you learn why you turn to sex as your drug of choice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the thing for me that it just is so big.
Or any drug of choice,
right.
Really.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Exactly. So, guys, if you would sign up, give us a call. It's not that hard. The hardest thing is picking up the phone and dialing those numbers.
And where are we at as far as scholarshiping goes?
It's available. We have scholarship money. We just ask you to...
Love those givers.
Tell us what you can give to go to this workshop.
Yeah.
You know, if you can give half, if you can give $100, whatever you can give, we want to get you there. We don't want money to be in the way.
And I just want to encourage people out there, the men and women who have found tremendous benefit, please consider giving the gift. Please consider giving to our scholarship fund so that we can make sure that financial resources are never a barrier for people to getting the help that they need.
That's right.
And so many people go and then pay it forward.
Yes, they do.
Right?
Yeah.
They were either helped through scholarship, or they see the value in it for men.
And why, just talking about the money part of it, it's a reason to give to New Life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we can continue doing these programs on radio and all the other stuff that we do, keeping our counseling and coaching networks going, keeping the workshops going. So, folks, we have this matching gift going. I feel really a little bit of guilt because I was fairly smug saying we can do this. See here, we can do this.
Yeah.
This we can get this matched in 30 days. Well, it got close to halfway matched in 30 days.
That's great.
But we got a lot to go.
But let's
keep during tough times for people, right? Not everybody's giving as much these days.
It's a challenge, but we still have not quite $400,000 left. Maybe $370,000.
All right, let's keep it going. Let's give out there. And this is, I want to step in with this because this doesn't get talked about enough, but I see it all the time. And it's this. There is an unpredictable and unseen tremendous financial benefit to recovery.
Oh, yeah.
And here's why. Is because in our addictive processes, especially those who struggle with sexual acting out, it is such a consumer of time and energy. It just sucks it all away. That doesn't allow you to be able to show up to the things sitting in front of you. When you get into recovery and you're able to show up well and show up with your full self and show up with generosity but also ingenuity, I've just seen it over and over and over and over again. The earning capacity dramatically increases as a result because you're able, again, to show up to your work and show up with your full self and not be distracted and obsessed with other things.
One of the exercises at Every Man's Battle that we do is ask guys to calculate the number of hours and the number of dollars that they've spent on their addiction.
Yeah.
And it is eye-opening.
It is.
Guys incredible. Never stop to even think about that. And some of them, it's actual years that they have wasted.
Yeah.
And the money, it gets really big as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So engage in your recovery. Engage in generosity. Help us help more people do that. Show up to their lives and the life that God has given them well. Give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. Again, we're going to be in office in studio for a couple hours today. So we'd love to talk to you, and we'll get to your calls right after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the one-year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zippered Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back to New Life Live. Chris Williams in studio here. We're going to go straight to the phones, and we're going to talk to Nancy in Port Smith, Arkansas, listening to us on Sirius XM. Nancy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. Well, what's going on today?
Well, I'd like to get advice in how to help my mother. She's 80 years old and showing signs of dementia. She's losing things constantly. She doesn't eat well. Her understanding is decreasing. She does not admit to having a problem. She realizes that there is a small problem, but not to the extent that it is. And she blames it on stress. My father, they're both still living together, and it is driving him insane to have to try to keep up with finding the things that she loses. I just don't know how to help her.
And are they in the Portsmouth area?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm actually going to be all ears on this, Nancy, because I'm in a similar situation with my mother-in-law. And mm-hmm. so she still has a pretty decent amount of faculty about her, but we're seeing those similar signs. I mean, like, what in the world do we do about this? So, Jackie, lead the way.
So, Nancy, does your mom have a physician that she sees regularly, or have there been any tests that have been run?
No tests for cognitive function. She does have a heart specialist. She's got a pacemaker, and she's on blood thinner, and she has a general practice doctor.
My other question is, how long has this been going on?
We noticed it probably a year ago, and it's slowly progressing.
Okay. The starting point is going to be getting her evaluated by her primary care doctor and seeing if maybe she does need to have a cognitive functioning assessment. But in terms of the caregiver aspect for your dad, help. That really is going to be the only thing. There's nothing you can really do to stop the progression of what's going on in her brain outside of a couple of medications that they say maybe possibly could help.
Mm-hmm.
But really, what you're saying, the issue is it's really hard for your dad to keep up with having to be the one that's finding everything or dealing with her anger if she's having outbursts because she thinks someone's manipulating her or stealing from her. And keep in mind also that if she's in that state, like, she's not rational, so she's not going to admit it. She doesn't remember it. I was talking to my dad yesterday about seizures, and he was like, I haven't had a seizure lately. And I'm like, you don't remember because yeah. you don't remember. It's a part of it. So one thing we don't do with people who are memory impaired is say, don't you remember when? Because they don't, and that just frustrates them and makes them angry. Some communities, I know here in Orange County, we have an office on aging. You could call 211, and they could give you some numbers for support. Alzheimer's Association is amazing. They can send out respite caregivers, but you really have to tap into the resources in your community that support aging parents. And because as the caregiver, he is taking on what's going on inside of her. He doesn't understand it, but he's going to do his best to take care of her and take care of him. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to manage when you're the spouse having to become the caregiver, or even the child having to become the caregiver.
Yeah.
You want to stay in your role as child or spouse as much as possible. So reach out to an organization like the Alzheimer's Association and see if you can find some support.
So I think also, in addition to that, There's a few things, because we have to remember that aging is difficult and that none of us like to admit we're as far along in the aging process as each of us are. Another thing, in terms of your dad, part of the frustration, what I have seen in spouses, is their anger at the fact that they're starting to lose the person that they love, or that the person can't function for them or with them in the same ways that they used to. So there's a grieving that starts, and a lot of times it comes out in anger. So to be able to help them, I think one is to talk with your dad about that she's not doing this on purpose, right? And to talk maybe about the sadness he might be feeling that mom isn't the same. Right? And that what that means, what he's anticipating.
And even the back and forth that she does, where sometimes she gets in, sometimes she doesn't, she is unable to help. If her brain is changing, those are just things she can't help. And I had a old boss, I call her my business mom, Vicki Geisler. She used to say, there are 32 steps to taking a shower.
Yeah.
And we don't think about most of those steps. And so when you start to lose some of those steps, imagine how much more difficult it is to get just to bathing when you have to remember to get the towel and the soap and turn the water on. And all the things that we just do automatically have become so challenging for her.
Right.
Yeah.
So one of the things, too, with your mom is to lovingly
maybe talk about, you know, you can even say for yourself, you know, sometimes I forget things. And so, Mom, one of the things I'm trying and come up with some systems, like writing things down, you know, making lists, checklists on things.
You can even put signs on things, right? If if the pills go in this cabinet, then put a sign on the door that says morning medications.
Right.
Because she's still able to read cognitively. If she's still at that place, then those are things you can put in place to help her jog her own memory.
And your dad, because part of it is he's feeling helpless, right, and frustrated. So what can
and
he
tired.
Put in place, right, as reminders, right?
Yeah.
So anybody that's having this cognitive slippage, I know people with MS go through that and have to come up with systems for things.
It really does require an extra level of grace as well.
It really does.
Because when our mind works against us and not for us, sometimes it does look like, you know, moral failings at times, or, you know, we're intentionally frustrating other people when it's just like, no, this is just unfortunately the deterioration of, you know, one of God's greatest gift to us, our own brain.
Right.
You know?
Well, and the misunderstanding. I mean, I've seen people say, this person lies. They lie all the time. Well, no, they're starting into dementia. They're not lying.
Right.
They really don't remember.
And I've had them, you know, they're so combative and they're so angry all the time. Well, if I went to bed and I woke up in the shower with someone bathing me, I'm going to probably be combative because I don't know what happened.
Yeah.
Right.
And so sometimes there are moments of lucidity that follow a moment, a gap, and they don't know how they got to where they are, and it's really confusing, and that will cause them to be angry and frustrated.
Right, and I mean, the worst thing is to not know your own mind.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's the scariest thing that can happen to a person.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Nancy, here...
Well, the situation...
Go ahead.
Well, the situation with us, my dad has never taken care of anything business-wise.
Yeah.
She has done everything.
Yep.
Okay.
And you know, she's getting to where she can't keep up with that, and I'm trying to help them, but she will not admit to this problem, so I don't know how we're going to get her to the doctor to try to get help.
Well, maybe not address the problem, just... It's that time of the year, and as we're all getting older, we should be having regular annual physicals anyway. And so just present it as, you know, this is something we need to do coming out of the pandemic, or, you know, just...
Make up an excuse, right?
Anything.
Yeah.
You know, you talk to the doctor's office. They know the reason, right? But, you just find a way to get her there, because you're not going to get her total buy-in.
Yeah, don't try to convince her that she has dementia. Don't try to convince her that she's forgetting things and that she's memory impaired, because that's a big enough struggle already.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you care about her, and things are getting harder, and that's just true.
Well, and sometimes
as we get older,
you want to just get a baseline for where people are at. Let's just get a health check, right?
Yep. And you want to know that your doctor knows you. And so maybe it's, you know, it's just, it's time to see him again. He hasn't seen you in several years. You don't want something to occur.
You're 80 now, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, and I think, Nancy, this points to a thing that's critically important for us all. And it's the superpower of humility. And humility says that, man, as much as I want to do something, I can't. So I reach out for help. And to Jackie's point here, it's like you want to exhaust the resources of help around you, because really at the end of the day, this is too big of a burden for you and your dad to solely take on. And there's other people and experts who have journeyed this road that can really help guide you in that pathway.
And to do incremental steps.
Yes. Yeah.
It helps it be more gradual, and it helps to preserve dignity.
Right. Absolutely. So we're going to actually send you... a life recovery Bible, and that may sound kind of weird. It's like, oh, this is not an addiction issue, but alongside of that, we're going to send you the life recovery workbook for grief, because as Jill was saying, underlying a lot of this is just a loss process and a grief process
for all of you.
Yes. Yeah. And that we all need to work through. So, Nancy, thank you so, so much for calling in today. Thank you for letting us be a part of that story. Again, if you want to talk to us, give us a call, 1-800-229-3000. Again, 1-800-229-3000, and we'll be back right after this.
The final find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. And coming at the last segment, we're going to go straight to the phones. We're going to go to Christy, listening in Huntsville, Alabama, on our podcast. Christy, are you there?
I am.
All right. What's going on? Talk to us today.
Okay, I have a complicated, I'm widowed. I was widowed in 2012. I was pregnant. My other one was 17 months. I married a widower 4 years later. His daughter was four. So we have, our daughters now are nine. Mine's nine, his is 10, and then my oldest is 11. So, it's been a very complicated marriage. We're totally different. He's pretty avoidant. I mean, I'm a counselor, so I know all this stuff. I really didn't realize it at the time, but I sort of felt sorry for him. His parents never came and helped him at all, so he doesn't really know what love is. They left him. I mean, he was here with a three-year-old. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I was healthy. I wasn't healthy. I mean, I come from a codependent family, but I was healthy enough to want to help him and dumb enough to think that that would, you know, give me some kind of credit. Well, it was bad. We got divorced last year, and then he did some work, came back, couldn't really get rid of him, and she really does need a mother. And now we're back together. And some things are better, but it's kind of funny you talk about the memory stuff. I sort of feel like, even though he's 40, that I'm with someone who has no memory, because I often share my heart and talk about things, and I feel like I'm talking about the same thing over and over, and his response is basically like I just said it for the first time. And so I've kind of got to this point where I'm just like, I can't fix this for us, and I'm willing almost just to live like roommates. And my question more or less is just like, how do I live where I can't expect him to be emotionally connected to me at all? And, you know, that's very lonely. Mm-hmm. I do really enjoy being my children's mother. So I don't want to just, like, constantly throw myself out with friends just so I find emotional support. It feels empty, and I don't really feel like, even if I was to say, hey, you need to go, that he would leave.
So, Christy, couple questions. Mm-hmm. One is, what's the question for us today?
How do I survive? How do I just survive in emotionally disconnected marriage?
Okay. And then the second question is, you said he went away, did some work. What have you guys done as far as
work? Yeah, it was enough for you to remarry him. So what did he do then?
Well, he got a coach. He was seeing a coach every week. He was, like, telling me about how he was, you know, dealing with stuff. He has, one of the things, we were really separate, so he's very, very separate. So, you know, the main reason we got divorced was he spent like $30,000+ on a car, in accessories on a car. And we needed stuff in the house. 2020 happened, and he was like, nope, and my gym time is my gym, and this is what I do. He's been more willing to compromise with a lot of that stuff. So he's learned some of that, and he's admitted, yeah, that was wrong. But now it's just getting into where, I don't know, when I tell him stuff.
Okay, so hold on. Let me jump in. Because, okay, this is going to be hard to hear. When you tell me that they, you know, went away and did some stuff, he didn't do anything. You guys haven't done anything, right? And so we want to be able
to counseling.
Okay, yeah. So we want to try to see if we can help guide you in some directions that would really help you, because I don't want you to live in a emotionally empty and deprived marriage. And so, Jackie, what do you think?
You said he's avoidant, and sometimes you share your heart with him, and it's as though you've said it for the first time. Are you feeling like you share your heart, and then he doesn't share back, or he's not actually taking in what you're saying?
Well, the main fight we had, it wasn't even a fight. I was just shocked. So when my baby was born, I had a friend that helped me for 2 years. Well, she was murdered along with five people in her family, and when I talked about this the other day, he didn't remember any of the details. He didn't remember anything.
Okay. So,
I share my life, and he...
So, here's the thing.
No, he...
Here's the thing. It's... You're sharing your life, and he's not remembering all the details of it, and you're wanting to know, how do you live with that? How do you learn to live with that? So it sounds like there's an expectation that when you tell him something, it will matter to him as much as it matters to you, and you might have to release him from that expectation. Emotional avoiders they're not often emotionally present, and if you're not emotionally present and attuned, you don't necessarily record the incident or the experience. And so we don't remember a lot of things as emotional avoiders because we're not tuned in. But we're not tuned in because we're trying to survive. And so there's often something going on in the atmosphere, in the environment for the emotional avoider that is so overwhelming that they can't take in anything else or they can't tolerate it. So it sounds like there's some work that could be done in terms of your intimacy in your marriage. Do we have an intimacy and marriage workshop
in
July?
Yep, in July. Yeah.
Have you ever read the book How We Love?
Yeah, I've read it multiple times. He said last night he's not willing to do any counseling anymore. He doesn't want to do anything. We've gone multiple times. Right. I mean, it almost feels like Groundhog's Day.
You were saying, how do you cope? Because if you're choosing to stay,
how do I?
If you're choosing, this is who he is, I'm going to accept this is who he is, the other things are fine, it's just that I don't feel as emotionally seen as I would really like to be, then that's an expectation.
How about if I can't ever accept it?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm a counselor. Yeah. I do this. Mm-hmm. I like deep, and why should I even share? I don't think you listen to anything I say. I mean, that's how it feels. It's just like, you almost just, like, I didn't, when we were married before, I needed a colonoscopy. I didn't want him to go because I didn't think he would listen to what the doctor said.
Yeah. So, Christy, in that, you know, there's some crossroads, right? Mm-hmm. Do I stay in this emotionally empty marriage? Or is there other solutions for my emotional needs?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right? What do you think, Jill?
Well, I think that it's understandable. You kind of feel at the end of this, right? And you feel frustrated and hurt and wanting to give up. But then there's that other part of you that says, but my kids, we have a family, right? And so I don't necessarily want to break all of that up. And a lot of times people get in this position of, I either have to leave or just resign myself. And I think there are a lot of things in between those two extremes. And I know you feel like giving up. And a lot of people would want to give up in your shoes. But part of the survival is you don't give up, right? You adjust your expectations. And you do what you can to make the little changes that then add up to more. Like, I'm wondering, okay, he doesn't want to go and do the counseling and all of this. And sometimes an avoider can feel like, oh, I'm going to get drug in there, and it's all about me, and I'm the one that's wrong and needs to change.
And it's painful for the I'm an emotional avoider in recovery. It is painful to sit in those emotions and to sit and hear someone else tell you you're not good enough over and over and over again.
Yeah, let me jump in for time. We are going to send you a Life Recovery Bible. And wish we had more time. But I want to say this, Christy, therapists can live deep in the deep end, underneath the water. A lot of people live in the shallows. We need to find people that could be there with us. That's not always our spouses, and that's okay. But thank you for being with us today, and wish you a great day.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app.
Visit newlife.com to download the app today.